This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Welcome to the March 18th, 2020 edition of the MMA Report Podcast with Dan Galvan. I am Jason Floyd, and when we recorded the show last week, we talked about Bellator 241, we talked about UFC Brasilia, and of course a lot has changed, not just in the MMA world, but in our world in general. We're here to talk about everything going on in the world of MMA. Daniel, obviously all of our lives have been affected. I'm sitting here in my home office recording the show this week, and was supposed to have a little mini getaway this week with my nieces. Obviously, that's not happening. And I feel like I haven't changed too much in my role, except just kind of being more cautious about kind of what I do day in and day out. But, you know, what's kind of, you know, has your world been affected?
Yeah, I think everyone's world has been affected except for, you know, North Korea. I think that it's just business as usual over there. You know, there is not too many countries on this globe that has not been impacted by the coronavirus, by COVID-19. And absolutely, man, it's all about staying indoors. And, you know, our normal way of life has changed for the foreseeable future. You know, I love professional wrestling. Every Friday night, we have that local wrestling show that we put on, and obviously that's been suspended for at the least 8 consecutive weeks, as it's recommended not to gather in groups of 50 people for the next 8 weeks. But again, this is something that is incredibly, incredibly life-altering, and it's a situation in which people have to understand and realize this is a real threat for Americans to alter their lives this quickly. There's a good damn reason for it. And so it's not the time to have the hero complex and say, oh, let's go outside and let's go mingle when we don't have to. Let's go and put on a sporting event. You know, you think if the NBA is canceled, you might want to follow suit. All I got to say is this, Jason. The very first sporting event to cancel their events was the Ivy League. They canceled their tournament. And I think we should pay attention when you know, the smartest schools in America make a decision. They probably have a good reason for doing it.
You know, it's one of those things over the last week, I've really wondered if Rudy Gobert does not test positive for coronavirus, how different would our sports world be?
I think it would definitely have taken a day or two longer for everything to shut down. Because it's inevitable with this disease. When you look at countries that did not react fast enough, like Italy, you know, these are countries where they're having a crazy amount of people die per day, where they aren't even allowed to bury their dead in terms of having normal funeral services. That's crazy to me. And it's a situation where it's very real. So if the Rudy Gobert situation had not happened, I really honestly think it would have been a day or two longer before sporting leagues would have started making these calls. I think the Rudy Gobert thing made it very real and caused us to react. And I think for America, what we were looking for before making drastic changes was a reality check, was this is real. This is on our mainland. And it happened in such a public way that I think it accelerated things. I mean, listen. I was working NBA G League game. By the way, let's take another step back. If you listen to our podcast we released that day, we did not talk about the coronavirus until like 35 minutes into the show. Later that day, the coronavirus canceled all of sports, I think. It shows you how fast this situation moved in terms of how we as Americans were processing it. It's really crazy. Anyways, back to my story. That same day, I was working the NBA G League game, and it was on Twitter where I saw the Rudy Gobert news. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. Put my phone away. And then I looked at my phone again. While I'm working the NBA G League game, I find out the rest of the season is canceled. It's crazy to me. When I showed up to that game, I remember telling my coworkers, guys, I bet this will be the last time we do a game without with fans here. So let's go get some concession stands food. I was thinking we were going to finish out the season without fans. And it shows you how crazy it ended. You know, I walked into the arena thinking I have a whole season left of games to work and get paychecks for. And I left that arena having no gigs to work. No Vipers games to work. No RGV Toros games to work. No UTRGV baseball games to work. So that was my reality, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I think everyone has a reality out there. I mean, I remember, you know, last week on the show, we talked about just the impact that the coronavirus was having on MMA at the time of that recording. At that time, it was about the announcement that Combates America had made. It was about the announcement that KSW had made. And then, of course, it was on Friday where, you know, Bellator made their news. I mean, I can tell you just personally for me, I went to the grocery store on Saturday, even went earlier today. It was, I felt like I was in the grocery store as a hurricane was getting ready to come down. Obviously, you know what that's like living, you know, in Texas and here on the west coast of Florida. It's something we deal with, you know, five, six months out of the year. It was just, to me, it was amazing. Just shelves just empty and people just hoarding everything they have. And of course, it obviously has changed our lives. But, you know, I remember it was last Thursday. I was making calls, you know, in relation to the Bellator event of, hey, is this event going to take place? And then ultimately, it was on Friday when Bellator decided that they were going to cancel the event. Now, before we talk about this, Daniel, I do want to play a comment from Scott Coker. Coker was on Luke Thomas's show on Sirius XM yesterday, and who is asked about his decision to cancel this show.
When you cancel an event like that, what are you weighing? What in your mind went into making this call ultimately?
You know, basically it was this one thing in my mind was, is my staff and my fighters and my production crew, and are we putting our people in harm's way? And I just couldn't come to an answer for that. You know, I believe that we made the right call because who really knows, right? I mean, you know, I wasn't sure about the situation. Rumors started flying around. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was like, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable. And some of my staff members honestly didn't feel comfortable. And some of the production crew didn't feel comfortable. So, you know, after a while, you're like, look, you know, this is not going to be an event that we're going to want to promote and feel good about promoting. And, you know, then the decision was, okay. You're talking about hours away from, you know, the first fight. So everybody's there. Right. And then it was a matter of scrambling and trying to get everybody out of there because if there was a ban on flights, we need to get everybody to the airport and, you know, and try to get them back into the city. We had people from out of the country that couldn't fly after Monday. And, you know, we just felt the need. We got to get these guys out of here. So, you know, I think it was a time that where people should be at home with their families and hunkering down and getting ready for the, you know, whatever news comes next.
Daniel, my biggest takeaway from what Scott Coker said there, and Scott Coker deserves a lot of praise for deciding to cancel Bellator 241 because it was absolutely the correct decision to make. And it's awesome the fact that Bellator, not just they paid their fighters, you know, they paid all their money to the fighters and production crew and to the commission. Everyone got paid. So Bellator deserves a ton of kudos for what they did decision made because obviously the UFC ultimately went for their show. But Daniel, my biggest takeaway from what Scott said there, and I want to see if you're thinking the same thing, where he said he questioned whether he was putting his people in harm's way.
I think here's the situation. In addition to the fact that you can't know for a fact that every person in that building does not have the coronavirus, Dana White has talked about, and again, Scott Coker's reaction is in sharp contrast with Dana White's reaction, the UFC's handling of things. The UFC makes Bellator look great in this situation. It's a tough call to cancel an event the same day of, but here's the deal with the coronavirus. Dana White talked about how he could potentially have events where he can put a thermometer in someone's mouth and see if they have a fever, but that's an asinine way of going about doing this simply based on the fact that I'm no doctor, but according to the CDC, the coronavirus has an incubation period before you show symptoms. It can last between 2 to 14 days after being exposed to it. So that means there are people who are carrying the virus who are not showing symptoms. And when you cannot say with certainty that every single person within a short distance does not have the coronavirus, it is irresponsible to put on an athletic event, and it puts the people who are working under you at a major risk. And it not only puts those people at a risk, it puts the people that those people will interact with when they go home, the elderly and whatnot. So it was the right call for Scott Coker. It was the correct call, but for the love of God, it was a common sense, no-brainer call.
This is one of those things about the story. And obviously it was, you know, and one of my, basically my whole thought the end of last week and even after, you know, UFC Brasilia was over was just simply, why risk it? Why risk potentially having someone who is, yeah, yes, you have no fans in attendance, but there's still plenty of people there, from the fighters, the corners, the managers, the production crew, you know, so on and so on. You know, why would you put your people at risk? That was always my question. I know that there was a fan base that was out there that said, let us just have fights. And I totally understand that. My whole question, the whole thing was, as a business, why are you going to risk it? I mean, I can just tell you, as me as a business owner, I'm, you know, myself and my business partner, Jerry, we're working from home. You know, if we have to do a show recording, we'll go to the studio, but you know, we've, you know, really cut back on all that. You know, we're trying to, you know, be overcautious more than anything else, especially when you're a big office building. You just never know. And, you know, I look at, you know, kind of how Dana, you know, put this out there, and that was my whole question of why. But as we advance on 3 months from now, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, however long it takes us to kind of, you know, obviously to, you know, we're not in the current situation we are. If I am Bellator going forward and there's someone that is a free agent, for example, Paige VanZant, for example, Michael Chandler, who's got one fight left on his deal, part of my plea to them of why to come sign with me goes, hey, just remember, we canceled a show and we paid our fighters, where the UFC put their fighters in danger. You know what? To me, this is obviously not the reason Bellator did it. They did it for, you know, the health and safety of their fighters. But as a bargaining chip to try to get someone to sign with Bellator, if I'm Scott Coker, that's one of my key talking points.
Absolutely. It's all about, when you are an employee of someone, you would love to work for an employer or a boss or someone above you who has your best, who believes in you and has like real empathy for your situation. You do not want to be in a work environment where you don't feel as though you are valued or cared for. And that's something Scott Coker can put out there. The thing with Dana White that he's done, and there are a lot of aspects I admire about Dana White, for sure. But the problem with Dana is he does live in his own bubble where he thinks his farts smell great and he's doing the right thing for the fighters. I'm sure he might even believe that in his heart of hearts, but that's a real con man way of doing it, Jason. You know, Jason, like, if I kick you in the nuts, but I tell you I did it because I love you and I care for you, that doesn't give me a get out of jail free card. I literally kicked you in the nuts. Dana White put on a fight event without fans, sure, but he put on a fight event in the middle of a pandemic. He was the only sport going on. He made mixed martial arts look like a mockery. And here's the thing with Dana. Here's the thing, Dana. Everyone wants to live their normal lives. Everyone wants to work. This situation is going to put a lot of people in bad spots economically, myself included. You know, I don't have a normal job. I don't have a job currently. I picked a wrong time to quit my previous job, I'll tell you that much. So this pandemic is causing all of us to change our habits. What makes you the exception other than your own ignorance? So the biggest problem for the UFC is that Dana White does not have someone to keep him in check, apparently. And for Scott Coker, he's someone who apparently doesn't even need that person there in the first place. Every promoter has their faults, and we have been down on Scott Coker for way different reasons in the past. But on this case, it seems like time and again, Scott Coker really shines well in these types of situations that really calls for the promoter to be nimble, inflexible, and empathetic for the fighters and the production staff and everyone in between.
He, when you see what Scott's decision was, it makes you go, I want to work for that guy. You know, that's the one thing that makes you say that, you know, and you know, one of the things, and you know, I think it was on Sunday or Monday, you know, someone had kind of, we were going back and forth just about it. And I said, you know, one of the things about if the UFC goes forward with an event, which obviously we now know they're not going forward with an event this week in the next 3 weeks, I said, is if Dana White is not present at the event, that is very telling to me. And he was not present at UFC Brasilia. Now, I do want to play a comment Dana White did say on SportsCenter on yesterday, where he was asked about why it's important for the UFC to continue to do events.
Why has it been so important for you to keep these fights happening with all the circumstances and the challenges the country's facing right now?
Listen, this is what we do. We put fights on every weekend. The fighters want to fight. The fans want to see it. I've had nothing but positive feedback from the fans and the fighters. These guys all want to continue. So we will, you know, obviously we've had some, you know, some blowback from the media that covers us, but you know, everybody's going to have their opinions. We're going to continue on. And these three fights are postponed. They will still happen. And Khabib, Tony is on for the original date. We're going to keep fighting.
You know, one of the things, Daniel, you saw, you know, throughout, you know, the Friday and Saturday, Sunday and Monday was obviously fighters were out there and they were supporting the decision for the UFC to go ahead with their fights. Managers were going out there. And I understand fighters want to fight. I totally understand that. But, you know, one of the questions I just had was, you know, what was being done to make sure that the fighters were not potentially being in harm's way? Because I kept saying this, Daniel, all it takes is one case. One case, because in the sports world right now, Daniel, for the most part, the face of coronavirus is Rudy Gobert. If something would have happened at UFC Brasilia, the face of coronavirus in sports would have been Dana White.
Yes, because he had the benefit of seeing what happened with Rudy Gobert. That's the thing. Rudy Gobert was the lesson. We all learned a lesson from Rudy Gobert. What was the lesson we learned? He did not take this virus seriously, mocking it by touching all those reporters' microphones. I mean, that clip must have been viewed by every single American so many times. Poor Rudy Gobert. You feel bad for this guy because the internet mob was after him, and it's incredibly likely that he did not contract the virus from that. Although he definitely, you know, he put his germs on those microphones, so that's kind of dangerous. But again, he didn't know, and it serves as a reminder of where we all were. Where we all were at that time. We were not taking this that seriously a week ago. We weren't. And that's fair. But that happened on, what was it? Was that Wednesday that happened? That happened on Wednesday. From that point forward, I think most people that live in this little sports bubble were like, oh, this is real. So we realized this was real from that point forward. From that point forward, there is no excuse to minimize this disease, this virus, excuse me, and to ignore the high probability that going in large social gatherings will help spread it and put you in a situation where if somebody, one of those fighters gets the disease, you are just, you're out of here. I mean, you're done, buddy. The Dana White put his fighters in a bad spot. He put his business in a bad spot. I know it's been mentioned that this is something that Endeavor may be pulling the strings here, as they also own PBR and they were still running events. Obviously, those have been canceled too. So this could have been an Endeavor thing. Regardless, if a single fighter or broadcast person or whatever got the coronavirus and they were at fight night Lee versus Oliveira, it would be a major, major news story. And this is a tweet you shared with me. When Dana talks about the fighters wanting to fight, you shared this tweet with me that Josh Thompson tweeted out, where he said, "I've had three UFC fighters reach out to me asking how much Bellator MMA paid their fighters when the fight was canceled. I said 100% of their purse and to everyone who made weight. They all said they're nervous to fight and wanted to know what fighters in Bellator actually got paid." So according to Josh Thompson, at least three fighters were nervous about fighting.
And you couldn't help that. I think that anyone in that situation would have felt, the same way. Now, it should be noted that Daniel Cormier responded to that tweet saying, "Josh, the fighters want to fight, Josh. Hats off to Coker and crew yesterday, but those fighters wanted to fight. That's what they do. I see what you're doing, Thompson." I mean, look, obviously Josh is paid by Bellator, but this is something I think Bellator is going to use to their advantage. Now, of course, Dana White on SportsCenter yesterday said that the UFC was planning to go to the Fire Lake Arena, which is on an Indian reservation in Oklahoma City on Saturday. However, after kind of everything that transpired on Monday, they decided that was not going to go away. Guillerme Cruz tweeted this. He said, "UFC going to any reservation during a global pandemic speaks volumes about how much they take profit over health." And I know, and when I had tweeted out, about basically saying, "Well, why are you doing this?" Pretty much, I would say 90% of the responses were gifts with money in them. And I think that's something that, I think, fighters have to understand, and there was, you couldn't help but sit there and think about how much this was about money. Now, Dana White, when he announced to his employees that they would be postponing the next three events, this is what he said in an email, quote, "My crew, this has been a crazy couple of weeks. We've been doing everything possible to stick to our live event schedule because the fighters want to fight, our employees want to work, and the fans want to watch our sport. So many people have reached out over the past few days to say thanks for not canceling our Brasilia event on Saturday. When weird things happen in the world, or when there's a tragedy like the October 1st shooting, people want to get back to normal, and nothing feels more normal than watching sports. We did everything we could to relocate our next three events, London, Columbus, and Portland. But every day there are new restrictions put in place on travel and large public gatherings that are making it impossible to stay on schedule. We can't even hold an event in Vegas, our hometown, because there's a ban on all combat events in Nevada until at least March 25th. As you heard me say, I've been in the fight game for 20 years, and this is what we do. We find a way to keep our events going no matter what. If fighters miss weight, if fighters get hurt, or if states won't regulate us, we figure out a way. But this is different. The whole world is being affected right now, and nothing is more important than the health and safety of you and your families. That's why we are closing all UFC offices effective immediately, including HQ in Vegas, through at least March 31st, and asking all employees to work from home. The PI will also be closed to all personnel, including athletes, during this time. The next three events, London, Columbus, and Portland, will be postponed. UFC 249 is still scheduled as planned, but the location may change. Keep you posted. I tell you guys all the time, you are the best to ever do it. It feels shitty right now, but we will get through this, and we'll be tougher, stronger, and more badass than before. Right now, the number one priority is take care of yourself and your family. Finally, I want to let you know that the UFC has your back. If you or any member of your family is showing symptoms of the coronavirus and you're having trouble getting a doctor, please reach out to me, Lawrence, or Hunter. Thanks, Dana." Daniel, there's a lot to take in there. I mean, I think there's, and look, I think Dana is 100% correct where you say, when as a nation, when there is tragedy, we do turn to sports, and there is no turning to sports this time. But, you also look at when he talks about, hey, our number one priority is your safety and health. It's kind of like, what do you say to the people that were working Brasilia last week? And also one thing I'll mention about Brasilia, and I saw this on Tuesday, is the fact that everyone was talking, the headline was UFC has their worst ratings on ESPN of 672,000. That's the average viewership. Something to note about that is the fact that that is for the entire card. It was not broken up in prelims and main card. That was the entire 6 hour block. So that average number for the main card is going to be much higher than that 672 number is out there. But it's just, you know, the fact is this decision from the UFC should have happened sooner than it did, you know, because at the fact is, you know, everything is shut down. I mean, we understand with sports. I mean, I found myself at night just sitting on the couch going, what to watch? Because sports has been just a huge part of my life since I was a young kid. And it's not there. And it's just, you know, there was just times last week I'm sitting there going, why is Dana White have this mindset? And it just, you know, goes back to, you know, that clip that Aaron Bronster put out there when he talked to Dana during the last event in Vegas, where he's basically kind of, you know, having that, you know, not taking coronavirus serious. And I think, look, all of us at time had that same type of feeling. We weren't taking it serious. But once the Rudy, it's like you said, once the Rudy Gobert thing happened, it made everything real.
Yeah. And it's just for Dana White, it's real simple. He's great in so many roles. He is not a great leader in this role. He cannot handle these situations correctly and appropriately. Someone like the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, has done just that. He is someone who has stepped up, and he's been a leader not only for his sport, but also other sports. I would argue Rob Manfred has also done a good job, and this is a guy who's been in some hot water lately with how he's handled the Astros deal. This pandemic puts a real microscope on the leadership quality of these people. And Dana White is not the type of person that should be leading an organization amidst a pandemic because of one simple word, ego. His ego, the idea that this pandemic is something that I just don't know, man. He's just the ego of Dana White here, I think, is what got him here. The fact that he's saying Habib Tony will happen is not something he can guarantee. It's not something he can guarantee. We might not be able to get on airplanes whenever they want that fight to happen in April. How are guys supposed to train for a fight card? You can't live in a fantasy land when we are experiencing a pandemic situation, a situation none of us want to acquiesce to, but it's something we have to because we do not have a choice. Well, we do have a choice. We can act like idiots and we can cost a lot of lives. That's a choice we can make, but it's a choice we as a country are choosing not to make. And we need to empower each other and make smart choices and make sacrifices. Yes. It would be great to have sports on television. It's a great distraction, but not at the cost of lives. And again, Dana White needs a reality check, and they need people in that UFC infrastructure that can sit at the adult table and make adult decisions and stop living in fantasy sports land.
Yeah, I would say, you know, one of the things that I saw someone kind of joke about, they said, you know, the coronavirus, we just need to blame the UFC because they book Khabib versus Tony again.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Every time that fight gets canceled, they do it one more time and it looks like it's going to happen. And what do we get? A pandemic.
And Dana mentioned about that fight not happening potentially in the United States. I think this screams it's going to happen in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen there. I don't think it's going to happen. I do not think we will be able to travel internationally on airplanes. The Arab Emirates have their own coronavirus issues. So obviously that's a possibility for sure, Jason. That is. And I tell you what, if that fight happens in Abu Dhabi in April, I think that's a good sign because that means that the coronavirus is not continuing on the trajectory it's on right now. Because it's on a trajectory where it just gets worse every hour. So at this rate, you would think it's going to be really damn bad in April. So if it does happen on that April, early April date in Abu Dhabi, then I think we're in a good space. But just based on past evidence, I think I don't think it's going to happen on that date in any country. I don't care if you get a spaceship and you go to Mars. I don't think Elon Musk can figure out a solution to get these guys in the cage. And And again, there are so many aspects that make this improbable when it comes to fight preparation in a gym. Gyms are closed. Going to a gym is just the worst thing you can do right now. And all it takes is one guy to infect an entire gym.
I won't go to the gym right now.
Nope. Why would you? You haven't got a six pack in the past 10 years. You're really going to risk getting a respiratory illness? You know, everyone's looked mediocre for the past 20 years. I think we can do some push-ups, you know, guys. If you got, by the way, I have not, I go to a wrestling gym, but that's just to train wrestling, really, even though there are weights. But for people that are looking for home workouts, there's plenty of stuff online. I do something very simple, man. All I do is push-ups, sit-ups, and squats. And I haven't done squats lately because I hurt my leg and my hip. So, yeah, you can do your own workout at home, man. Just do some push-ups, some sit-ups, and you'll be just like Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of businesses that are obviously affected by this, you know, and obviously the gym business. And I know, you know, Fortis has closed their gym up for the time being. Law MMA has closed up their gym. I know the last I saw with American Top Team down in Coconut Creek, the gym was only opened up for pro fighters. But yeah, I mean, I know you brought that point to me yesterday. I mean, it's a great point to bring up of, you know, kind of, you know, as a fighter, how will you continue to prepare for a fight? I mean, I think that, you know, it's like you said, if UFC 249 takes place on April the 18th, that's a really good sign. I mean, it's, you know, and we're recording this here on Tuesday afternoon. Of course, this podcast comes out on Wednesday morning. And who knows what's going to happen by the time we get done, you know, recording the show and into time the show comes out, because it does seem like there's something new every time. I know, you know, here in Florida, that what they've done is for bars and nightclubs that they're closed, they're telling them that you got to be closed for the next 30 days. I was at a bar on Friday night, Daniel. You know, it was definitely the amount of people that were in the bars. I typically go to the same bar on Friday nights. I would say it was it was probably down about 25% in the crowd. I think my buddy was about the only one drinking a Corona beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I hope everyone got their partying out. I mean, that was a situation in my area, the Rio Grande Valley, where if you looked at the social media feed, it didn't seem like this area was taking it seriously over the weekend. Like, there were people out at bars. Spring break at South Padre Island is a big situation, and it was packed. Since then, people can't gather more than 50 people in the area. And that's because currently there isn't a single confirmed case in our area. Granted, only 15 people in our area have been tested. So
just takes one.
It just takes one, and again, people might have it, they just might not have been tested. Just one thing I want to talk about real quick on this virus again. And again, I'm no doctor. I've spent a lot of time reading stuff on the internet, and one thing I would posit to people is this. I've seen a lot of people say, well, really, I shouldn't be worried about it if I'm young. My body can handle it. Maybe, but also, like, maybe it can't. You don't know your body that well, I don't think. We don't know the underlying issues in our bodies. And this virus is bad stuff for your lungs, man. You don't want, you know, your lungs are a vital part of you. And even though the mortality rate is low among young, healthy people, you still never know. There are real instances, you know, I think to people who have passed away from the flu. I know it was a tragic situation with that ESPN reporter, Edward Ashoff, who died, I believe, of pneumonia that he contracted when he was working a Michigan game this year. That was so sad, you know? So be scared of this illness, even if you are young, is what I would tell people. Have respect and fear for it. And if you have symptoms, even the littlest ones, get yourself tested and get yourself right. Like, we'll all get through this. Well, and there will be a day where this will just be a memory, but we need to take this seriously, I think. And together, I think kind of this whole country, this whole world will get past this, but this is something that's absolutely real, absolutely serious. And it requires that level of serious. We got to rise to the occasion.
Now, let me ask you this question, because, I mean, obviously in our world today, there's not much we're really doing. I mean, so, you know, grocery store is probably, you know, probably the most popular place that someone's going to go. So, Daniel, let's just say you're heading to the grocery store, you know, in the Rio Grande to get, you know, whatever you need to get for the house. You walk down an aisle and you see someone cough. How many coughs does it take for you to say, no, I'm going down another aisle?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. I can tell you this, though. I can tell you this is a real story that happened. So we have a production crew that works the Vipers game, the Toros game, the UTRGV games. And we're a really close-knit group. And we kind of realize that there's a chance that we will not see each other for a while. So we decided to have a gathering, which is probably not the smartest thing to do. But it was only a few of us, only about 8 or 10 of us. And we decided to have a gathering as a diaper party. And every time somebody would sneeze or cough, we would all look at them and make fun of them. Because these things that we normally do in life, like, it's normal to go throughout a day and sneeze or cough, or maybe you feel like you have a headache, but now you start self-diagnosing yourself that you have COVID-19. I mean, I've had several panic attacks throughout the week. Like, man, I have a fever, I have a cough, I have a sore throat. So, dude, this situation is really taxing mentally, Jason.
No, I'm with you. Someone else brought that up. It's like if you were like that's why I don't understand Cage Wars, of why they're going forward with this show this weekend in Manchester. Like, will there be a fighter if this show truly does go forward? Will there be a fighter on the weigh-ins that'll try to cough on their opponent?
Oh my god! I don't know if that Jesus, yeah. That would be awful, but it would probably be a good tactic. I mean, maybe that'd be a way to get somebody to submit, is if you get your germs on them. Jesus. Yeah, so they're moving the event from London to Manchester, right? That's,
why?
Look, man. Yeah, there's nothing on that card that I need to watch, you know? Like, we don't need Mason Jones versus Joe McColgan, you know? But we don't need to crown a lightweight champion, guys. We can chill out.
Yeah, that just, it's, to me, it's just absolutely amazing. But we, you know, of course, UFC did have an event last week, UFC Brasilia. Definitely did not see the main event. You know, I thought that it was Kevin Lee's fight to lose. And, man, kudos to Charles Oliveira going out there and proving he's a contender. Gilbert Burns with a statement win. Johnny Walker, you know, God knows where he goes from here after that loss. But to me, the whole card was really about what Charles Oliveira was able to do.
Yeah, man. What is it now? God. And by the way, this is going to be like the last time we will talk about fights in a recap fashion in a while. So let's just enjoy the moment. You know, it's going to be a while, maybe months. So let's recap these things. 7 wins in a row for Charles Oliveira, Jason. He's got 19 career submissions. He's got 14 in the UFC. He's got blonde hair, and so does the rest of his crew. It was an unbelievably great win for Oliveira. It was a close first round, and he looked great in the second round, especially with the stand-up against Kevin Lee. And as soon as Kevin Lee shot in for that takedown, he slipped on that guillotine choke, and he really fortified himself as a top-notch contender. Unfortunately, the weight class he's a contender in is the lightweight division. So there is a long line, and Justin Gaethje is ahead of him in that line. But, you know, clearly Charles Oliveira is an elite lightweight who things are fine on all cylinders. The fight in which, I mean, obviously not having fans in attendance was noticeable throughout the entire card. But the fight in which it was startling to me the most was that co-main event. And even though we are used to watching those types of environments with the Ultimate Fighter with no fans there, it was startling to see Gilbert Burns knock out Damian Maia, and there not to be an uproar from the crowd. It just feels so weird. Like you know that sound the crowd makes whenever there's a knockout finish, and we didn't get that. And that was to me the most startling thing. That and they didn't even need to mic up the corners for us to hear them, man. That was a phenomenal win for Gilbert Burns. Damian Maia got his back early on. He was able to slip out, and he dropped him. And so, you know, there were a lot of fighters on this UFC Brasilia card that did a good job of adding a big-time stock. I mean, Oliveira, Burns. Hanato Makano went out there, tapped out Demir Hadzovic, and Hadzovic had some words with him afterwards. That was a funny exchange if you hadn't seen it, where Hadzovic said, "Hey, man, why'd you tap me out? We could have fought longer." That was hilarious, man.
No, you know what also was hilarious? First off, I was happy to see Mike Beltran get an event outside of Florida. I think he's one of the better referees in the game, so it's cool to see that the Brazilian commission brought him down. And of course, I love how he interacted with Kevin Lee after the fight was over. Kevin Lee goes, "I didn't tap." Mike Beltran, "Watch the video. You tapped." Like, is there a better way for a referee to have that reaction?
Yeah, it's a lot of confidence, man. And he did. He did. And Kevin Lee talked about maybe not fighting for a couple of years in an emotional post-fight interview. That's interesting. I mean, look, Johnny Walker is going to have to take some time off and learn how to wrestle. Because that's first time ever, I think Krylov went the decision. I thought we were going to get a first round finish here, but Krylov just went out there and out wrestled Johnny Walker, a guy who was just a burgeoning light heavyweight prospect, and he got suffocated by the wrestling of Krylov. So that's a Debbie Downer for Walker. But I mean, a pair of fighters you got to feel so good about is Brandon Moreno, who had a win over Juicier Formiga. He clearly beat Formiga, and he clearly puts himself next in line for the flyweight champion after Benavidez and Figueroa fight again, or as a no-brainer replacement option, but a guy who probably deserves an opportunity ahead of Benavidez. And then Amanda Ribas in the women's strawweight division had a dominant performance against Ronda Marcos. And Amanda Ribas is a name to pay attention to. She is going to be a top contender at women's strawweight.
Yeah, I mean, the Kevin Lee thing, that's hard for me to buy, that he's going to take a couple years off. You know, how much of that is just emotion? I don't know how much I really believe of that. Charles Oliveira, I mean, the guy just keeps calling out big names. So we'll see if he gets a big fight. And, you know, Damian Maia mentioned, you know, would like to have one more fight, mentioned Diego Sanchez as a potential opponent. And, but yeah, I mean, it was overall, for the most part, I would say I enjoyed UFC Brasilia. But like you said, it was a weird event to watch. Just no fan reaction. Probably one of the funniest moments. God, I forget what fight it was. And Bisping said, "You know, make some noise for this one." And I was like, and he's like, "Oh." Then after the fact, he kind of joked with himself, like, "Yeah." And I think you've done media. We've all been in that situation where you're just so in tune of how you do certain things, and all of a sudden it's a little different. But you know, I think, Daniel, the question going forward is, when will our next UFC event is? And I don't know. I mean, it's a weird situation for us to be in right now.
I think our next UFC event, based on everything I've seen thus far, I think it's going to be late May, is what I would tell you. Because I think the UFC is going to want to jump the gun, for sure, and be the first sporting event back. I mean, Dana White's chomping at the bit to get an event going. And so it feels like a lot of the sports leagues are targeting June. And if that's the case, I'm pretty sure the UFC is going to get the jump on them and start late May.
Yeah, it's like I said to somebody the other day, I go, you know, the next Bellator event is scheduled for May the 9th. Will that happen?
Where's it happening at?
California.
I don't think so. Oh, no. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I have no idea. That's a long time from now. But here's the thing. It's not going to be like – it's a situation where decisions where we're at on April, you know, 12th will decide whether or not they cancel that event. You know, we could be good by like May 2nd, but it's going to be too late. That event probably would have already been canceled. So in a state like California with Gavin Newsom as their governor, I really don't think that event's going to happen on May 9th. Here's
I think also the other question is, what is going to be the first sport that says we're doing an event in the United States? I mean, obviously you're relying on what the CDC says. You're relying on what the federal government, the state government, the local government. I mean, I know, here in my home state of Florida, I mean, pretty much, a lot of things are being cut down, and you just, I just wonder kind of like what's our world going to be like in 3 days?
I don't know, man. It's going to be a lot of historical pieces and a lot of memories and stuff. And here's the good thing. We have plenty of content. We have plenty of time to reflect. This is a good thing. We're going to make this a good thing, man. Because I tell you what. In our lives, we have so many sports all the time, all day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Let's take a moment to just reflect, you know? Let's really dig deep in our history. Because we got a lot of it. We got a lot of content to watch and interact with. And I tell you what, we can even talk to our family. We can talk to our dog. And that's going to be life. It's going to be, we're going to take it down from 100 to 15 miles per hour. And that's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. I think the first sport, I mean, the WWE and AEW are still running events. They are running, let's see, is today Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday. Sorry. That's how you know the coronavirus is impacting me. I don't even know what day it is. Tomorrow, AEW is supposed to produce a live show in an empty arena. Still. WrestleMania has been moved to the Performance Center in WWE without crowds. So, I mean, wrestling is still putting on events because they're insane. But without a doubt, the UFC is going to be the first event to run a public show, I think, in America. Because I just think Dana White's chomping at the bit to do it.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, look, I can tell you as a resident of Tampa, you know, our economy has taken a massive blow. The fact of we were supposed to have the start of the NCAA tournament this week. And then, of course, WrestleMania not being here. I mean, it's a massive blow to the economy. I mean, it's you know, and just you go out and it's, you know, I talked about earlier in the show, like there's times where I'm, you know, if I'm like going somewhere to get something, whatnot, because, you know, primarily I'm not leaving my house much. It's like I do feel like a hurricane's coming. That's just like the way it feels. And like, and when you see those videos of like in Italy with just empty streets, I mean, it's just, I've never seen anything like this. And it's just, we're sitting there and we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
All I can say is for those listening, for us, I pray to whatever God there is that this is the craziest event that happens in our lives. Because this is pretty nuts. And I swear to God, if something tops it, we're in some deep trouble. Because this is the craziest damn thing I've ever experienced in my life. It's going to be crazy, man. The long-term effects of this is significant. Especially the economy. The way our way of life will change for a while now. And we will get through this because that's what we do as humans. But God, I hope this is the most outrageous stuff I experienced in my life, because I tell you what, this is out of a fictional movie.
I mean, look, there's so many people you feel for right now. You know, I know over the past couple of days, I've thought of, you know, someone who works in a stadium or arena. You know, maybe they're the beer guy walking up and down the stairs, and they're dependent on, you know, the tips that they get for selling beers, you know. But and this being MMA podcast, I think about fighters and the fact of the way fighters are set up. That's why I think that Bellator deserves all the credit in the world for what they did. The fact of that they paid the full purses to the fighters last week. That's an amazing by them, you know. And you feel for the fighters that were supposed to fight on the London card, the Columbus card, you know, the Portland card, that now they have no idea when their next check is going to come in, you know. And that's where you just like, Daniel, I know this will never happen, but this is where you would hope that fighters might start to say, maybe we need to stick up for ourselves and how we're paid.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's happening across the board when you see lower level workers not being taken care of by corporations that are making a lot of money. I don't think that's going to happen, though, in terms of the fighters banding together. It just seems improbable.
Yeah, it'll never happen.
So, I mean, I don't know, man. We're in some uncharted territory. If you listen to this podcast, we will do the best job to provide you with some interesting content at least once a week for sure. You know, the train does not stop. We will figure things out. We've got a litany of history to talk about in this sport, And we have plenty of big picture topics we can go about. You know, me and Jason can talk about anything for a long time. We could talk about the Houston Texans for a whole podcast, which I don't want to do. They're the worst the franchise in history. But yeah, we'll get through this.
Yeah, in our field, I think in the media field, especially the MMA media, you're going to find out who the best content producers are, because the fact that you don't have fights to sit there and talk about. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I interviewed a couple of fighters who were supposed to be a part of LFA on Friday, and, you know, it was going back and putting those interviews up online, and you're trying to, you know, look at of what else do we talk about, you know. And, you know, two of the interviews I did with Daniel Madrid and Jordan Williams was the fact of them talking about how they've gone to a plant-based diet, and they both talk about the Game Changers documentary on Netflix, which is something I'm gonna check out, you know, just because based on what those guys had said, you know, kind of how they have changed their life. Daniel, I don't think I could do the whole plant-based diet. I'm just being honest. Couldn't do it.
Nah, man, I had a delicious sirloin steak for lunch. I mean, dude, chicken wings is one of the greatest things of my life, you know? I just had like, I had 18 chicken wings yesterday for lunch.
And whoa, I have whoa, tears. 18?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Breaded, non-breaded?
It's non-breaded, I think. Yeah. Yeah, non-breaded.
Okay, if you did 18 breaded wings, goddamn. I was about to say, Jesus yeah. Christ, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Like, if they were naked wings, okay, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, lemon pepper from Frankie Flav's. It's a restaurant down here. Yeah, okay. You know, I can. Here's the thing: I can eat with the best of them, and during a pandemic, it just makes me want to eat everything. So, yeah, it was for lunch. I was hungry, man. I was trying to, you know, I'm a big wing eater. What can I say? I commend people on the plant-based diet. You know, you listen a lot about the environment and stuff, and that's probably a good idea. But, dude, steak tastes great.
Yes, I had a ribeye the other night. Yes, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, it's yeah, but you know, I'm going to watch that documentary. I think I found myself watching a lot of things. You know, in terms of, I know, you know, ESPN's been running 30 for 30s. That's the kind of content they had. Of course, if you go over to the MMAreport.com, you can watch my interview with Daniel Madrid as he talked about switching to a plant-based diet. Jordan Williams. You know, he talked about potentially going down to 170, and one of the more interesting parts about that conversation was him talking about the pivotal moment of his career, which was a knockout loss. Also talked to Anthony Romero, who is coming off a 58-second win to win the Ohio Combat League lightweight title. He has been a little Twitter feud with Brock Weaver. He's trying to get on that UFC card in Canada in June, and Anthony's a guy that definitely, no doubt in my mind, it's UFC or bust for him. Talked to Desmond Torres, who's supposed to be on the LFA show, and you know, one of the things he really talked about is just for him the struggle to be able to find fights at 125 pounds and having to fight at 135 pounds. So we'll see what happens in terms of that. But yeah, as Daniel said, we'll be here every week, every Wednesday, talking about everything going on in the world of MMA. If there's a topic you want to hear us discuss, maybe something about the history of mixed martial arts, just shoot me a tweet at Jason_Floyd, or you can email me Jason@radioinfluence.com. Of course, great way to show your support for this podcast is leaving a rating on your favorite podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Dale, anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here?
Not much, other than everyone stay safe, have a good time, and we'll be back next week, guys. Again, my big message is together we'll get the hell through this, and it'll be an awful memory in the rearview mirror.
Of course, be sure to give me a follow on social media at Jason_Floyd. You can give Daniel a follow on Twitter at Daniel Galvan DGG. And of course, be sure to check out themmareport.com as we'll be posting various video interviews that I have been doing, and definitely be talking to some buyers as the week goes on. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out every Wednesday on radioinfluence.com.
This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles quick fix on Radio Influence.
I love Calais Campbell as a football player. You just don't see that type of player too often. You know, a 6'7", 330-pound guy who can move and take over a game. He's not what he used to be, but I would have loved to have seen Calais Campbell in a Buccaneer uniform. Well, he got traded to the Ravens for a fifth-round pick. I don't give a fifth-round pick. I don't even know why they even threw that in there. It's almost like a slap in the face, but he makes $15 million a year. That's not crazy money anymore. It's just not.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.